Yeah, you can hear that. Sorry, I may clear my throat a bit. I haven't been well this week, but we keep going, don't we? Anyway, just in keeping with tradition, I thought we'd start with a couple of jokes. Yeah, I know, I apologise in advance, especially to the Ricketts brothers who probably heard them all. So, Gus, this one's for you. As a lover of dictionaries, a thesaurus is great. There's no other word for it. And this is one for Sharon Ricketts. It's a horsey joke. To be or not to be a horse rider, that is equestrian. And finally, here's one for you, Ethan, since you're heckling so much. You've got universities on your mind and Christmas is looming, so here we go. I've got an Oxford-themed advent calendar where all the doors are open for me by my dad's contacts. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to pan out for him, but yeah, God will get you into the right university. So anyway, this morning, my message is actually a question. Hope you can read that. And it's, are you serving God's purpose in your generation? I feel like I've gone. No, I'm there. I'm still there. And this message is actually inspired by something we heard when we were at Elam Ignite Camp in Keffinleigh this summer. On the last night of camp, Kevin Pete gave us a 12-month challenge, and it was based on Acts 13, verse 22, where God commends David. So if we could turn there, please, I'll give you a race. Acts 13, 22. So God can testify concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It sounds a bit daunting, but how amazing also that God would say that about you. And based on that scripture, Kevin challenged us and he said that God was asking us to be people after his own heart, to only do what he wants us to do. And this month, I happened to read that scripture again because I'm currently reading through the book of Acts. And I came to that scripture, and then I read on, and I came to verse 36. And it's another statement about David's life. And this is how it goes. If you can find 36, Acts 13, verse 36. David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Then he fell asleep. Not unlike yourself, Bob. Actually, we all know when it says fall asleep, it means die. Bob, not you. So David had served God's purpose in his own generation. And when I read those words, just sitting upstairs in my room, they really hit me. And it's like they leapt off the page. It's the old, you know, you hear people saying that. But it was true. And that challenge that Kevin Pete had had at camp for us just came back again. And I really just felt like God was saying to me, am I going to be a woman after God's own heart? Am I going to only do what he wants me to do? Am I going to serve God's purpose in my generation? And I thought, you know, that's not just a challenge. That is an exciting invitation. I mean, what a privilege. Yeah, that's a partnership with God. In the New Living Translation, Acts 13, verse 36 says, David had done the will of God in his own generation. And the Message Bible says, David completed the work God set out for him. The Passion Translation puts it this way, David passionately served God's desires for his generation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd love to have someone say that about me or write that about me, that I had done God's will, that I completed the work that he set for me, and that I had passionately served God's desires in my generation. And I believe this is what you and I are called for. It's what we're made for. And if you're not too sure about that, I hear a couple of amens. Thank you, Heather. But yeah, if you're not too sure, you've really got no excuse. Because reading in the Bible, it says, Ephesians 2, verse 12, we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's what we're made for. And I like how the Passion puts it, we've become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he's given each of us for we are joined to Jesus. Even before you and I were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Now, a great example of someone who has served God's purpose in his generation, you'll all know this guy. He was a famous Scotsman, Eric Liddell. Represented Britain in the 1924 Paris Olympic Games, won a gold in the 400 metres, a bronze in the 200. Didn't get to win in his favourite race, 100. You'll all know the story why. Interesting, he also played rugby for Scotland. Yeah, God bless the Welsh, the game's over, but yeah, let's just pray that that was favourable. In 1925, Eric Liddell became a missionary to China. That actually was the country he was born in. But one of my favourite lines in that whole movie, Chariots of Fire, if you've seen it, I'm sure you all have, was when he was having a conversation with his sister, and he was having to defend his decision to be an athlete, basically in that season of his life to focus on athletics. She was trying to pressure him and saying, you should be out doing full-time ministry for God. And, I mean, he did end up doing that, but I love his response. He said, and I wish I had a Scottish accent, and I'm not going to ruin it by trying. No. No. I haven't got my kilt on. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And even now, when I say that, I don't know, it kind of gives me goosebumps. Because I believe God wants you and me to run with the unique blend of personality and abilities he's given each of us, just like Eric Liddell did. We may not be physically running, but metaphorically, that is what we're called to do. And I reckon God wants us to feel his pleasure as we live and breathe and have our being. Now, I also just want to say, if right now you don't feel confident like Eric Liddell to be able to say, God made me fill in the blank, and when I fill in the blank, I feel God's pleasure. If you can't confidently say that this morning about what God's made you to do or what you feel called to do, don't be discouraged. And just as a way of encouragement, this is a really short story from my own life. Back in the day when we lived in New Zealand, there was a man of God called Peter Robinson. Oh, he's still alive. It sounds like he's gone. He's known as a prophet in New Zealand and a revivalist. Gus and I have a huge amount of respect for him. He was a forerunner of the 1990s Move of God. Just ran with that. Amazing guy. Anyway, he had a prophetic word for me one Sunday night, and it was basically, don't be afraid to step out and do the things God's leading you to do. Because he said, you're taking such small baby steps that if you're starting to get off track, the Holy Spirit's going to be able to correct you and put you back online. And that really encouraged me. And I guess you've all heard the saying, God steers moving ships. Well, that's it really in a nutshell. If you're waiting on all your ducks to line up in a row, if you're waiting for pitch-perfect conditions, yeah, well, you could be waiting a while. Don't let that kind of thing stand in the way. Just start moving forward. And as I say, the Holy Spirit has promised that if you are brave and you step out and try the things that you think God is calling you to do, then he's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to keep you in check. And I don't know about you, but I reckon that often we learn as much as trying something and failing as we do when we try something and we succeed.
Yeah, it's good.
Over the course of time that Gus and I have been involved in the life of the church, you know, we've volunteered for so many different areas of church life, from cleaning to children to youth to admin. Yeah, women's and men's. Some of those things we did really well at, and people were like, yeah, that's awesome. Gus and Karen, you must be called to do that thing. Other things, perhaps not so much. But you know what? It didn't matter. We were a blessing, and in doing those things, it actually helped clarify whether or not that was something we should be doing. So I just think it's a win-win situation. Anyway, Romans 12, verses 4 to 8 gives us some really clear encouragement about functioning and what we're called to do. Let's have a read. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has got a specific function, so it is with Christ's body, the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If you've been given the gift of leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you've got a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, the Apostle Paul was another excellent example of somebody who served God's purpose in his generation. He was wholeheartedly committed to that. And I love how in Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." Sounds a bit like Eric Little. The writer of Hebrews says a similar thing in chapter 12, verse 2. You guys will know the scripture. "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." So I reckon that if we want to serve God's purpose in our generation, there are a couple of things we need. And so the next couple of minutes, we're going to look at those. And I've just chosen three: relationship, information, and power. So number one, relationship. To serve God's purpose in your generation, you're going to need to have a personal relationship with God. That's me, by the way, when I was a small tacker on my dad's shoulders. No, not really. Yeah. Anyway, about a week ago, people of North Wales, you will remember we had some gorgeous, hot, sunny weather. What happened to it? It's not here anymore. I think we've hit autumn officially. But if you will remember back with me, there was some beautiful weather, wasn't there? It was hot. It was still. As a New Zealander, I thought I was back home. And on one of those mornings, I went for a walk along Triada Bay. And even at that time of the morning, there were people already setting up for a day in the sun. You know, they didn't even have their windbreaks out because there was no wind. It was a miracle. They had their towels out, bathing costumes. And as I was walking, one particular couple caught my eye. And the reason was, everyone else, facing the gorgeous scene, the sand, the sun sparkling, the blue sky, this couple literally had their backs to the view. And they were facing the road. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? How unusual. And then the sun caught my eye. I looked up and I noticed the position of the sun in the sky, and their bodies were facing directly into the sun. And I thought, aha, they're not here for the views, they're here for the tan. Mind you, good luck in one day. Anyway, and that just actually, right then and there, it made me think about how, as followers of Jesus, we're called to fix our eyes on the sun, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And sometimes, I guess, when we do that, we might look a bit unusual. I certainly am not saying we ought to be unusual, because I don't believe we should be, but some of us can't help it. Yeah, but I thought that as we fix our eyes on Jesus, sometimes it means we're our backs to some things that the rest of the world are obsessed about or just sidetracked by. And yet, we are called to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, above everything else in life, to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And I reckon, as I know you guys do too, that a personal relationship with Jesus is how we become a people after God's own heart. There's no other way. There's no shortcut to that. And just to illustrate that, I was listening to a Bill Johnson sermon the other day, and his wife shared with him an article from a medical journal, and it was about two hearts had been taken out of bodies. This is going to sound gruesome, so we'll try not to focus on that. But there were two beating hearts, beating at different times, but beating normally, and then they were put in contact with each other. They touched each other. And it said that within a few moments, those hearts, incredibly, began to beat the same rhythm and in time with each other. And I thought, wow, and this isn't an original thought, that isn't that true of us as lovers of Jesus, that as we spend time, as we are in contact, as we are close with the Father, our heart beats, our heart is going to begin to beat in time with the Lord. And that's how we get to have a heart after his own. So that was number one. You need a personal relationship with Jesus, not rocket science at all. Number two, to serve God's purpose in your generation, you need information. Now, we live in a time that's been dubbed the information age, no surprise there. We all know that there has never been so much information available to us so readily, thanks to the internet. But does anyone remember encyclopedias? Anyone's parents buy encyclopedias? What was that about? I remember those. That used to be the only way you could get information. Encyclopedias will go to the library. My kids are like, what? What's an encyclopedia? But anyway, I'm not talking about that kind of information. I'm talking about finding out what God wants, his desires, his purpose, his will. And this information is only found in the Bible. And if you're as old as me or older, you might remember that, is it mnemonic? Is that the right word? For Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Does anyone remember what those letters stood for? Thank you, Simon. 10 points, gold star. So, basic information before leaving Earth. Now, you might laugh at that, and it does sound a bit cheesy, but you know what? It's actually really true. And if we want to know what God's heart is, if we want to know what his desire, his will is, we've got to read the Bible. And when I say gotta, I don't mean it in a religious way. I just mean that's where it is, like Jenna said this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 states it really clearly. All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what's true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives, and it corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. The Passion Translation puts it this way. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. So, yeah, I think it's pretty simple. Let's read our Bibles regularly. Last month's church newsletter had a quote from Joyce Meyer's message, Spending Time with God. And she says, with food, we might miss a meal once in a while, but we're not going to miss one very often. We take time to eat. So let's take time to be with God in his presence, in his word, and in prayer. So number two was, to serve God's purpose in your generation, you need information. You need his word. And finally, number three, to serve God's purpose in your generation, you need power. Power. About now, anybody, somebody. That's all right. It's not that exciting. It's a picture of a battery. And I've just remembered I needed my phone. And I forgot it. Oh, no, it wasn't that slide, the one before it. Yeah, it is hard to get good help. Now, Paul's going to turn it off and mute me. There we go. Wasn't that worth waiting for? Now, I've got to confess that as a 90s teenager, the first thing that comes into mind when I hear the word power is that song, I've Got the Power. And I did have it on my phone to play it for you this morning because it is a classic opening, the beats of it. But I've forgotten to bring my phone. Oh, Gus is going to get it. Have you got mobile data? Anyway, I was also going to invite Gus up to show you his incredible breakdancing skills to that song that won my heart in 1993. Got it up loud? No, it's a different song. It's called I've Got the Power. That was a worship song. Yeah, well, this is not a worship song. Yeah, but I'm going to get serious again. Thank you.
I'd known, I would have got it ready for you.
Well, I literally had it ready on my phone. I just had to push play, but I've forgotten it. Yeah, this is it. Remember that song? If you're a 90s teenager, come on, Gus! Come on, Gus. Woo! Oh, and just like that, he's won my heart all over again. Yeah, you can turn it off now. Some of the other words aren't so good. Anyway, but seriously, the only way that we are going to serve God's purpose in our generation is if we are living in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And we're doing it in His power. We're listening to His voice, doing what He tells us, and doing it with His power. You'll be familiar with Zechariah 4, verse 6. It says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And how true is that? And Peter knew that. 2 Peter 1, verse 13 says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for living a godly life." After healing a man who'd been crippled, the Apostle Peter told an astonished crowd in Acts 3, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness we'd made this man walk?" And in the same way, the Apostle Paul said that in Colossians 1:29, he says, "I work, struggling with all God's energy that works powerfully within me." And the NLT says, "Depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." So really, that's all I've got to say this morning, is just that if we want to answer that question, if we could have that one up, please. Are you serving the purpose of God in your generation? And that's for me, and that's for you. The only way we can do it, we need a relationship with Jesus. We need to be reading His word to find out what His desire is, what His purpose is, what His will is. And then we need to be doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's no point doing it in our own strength. It just won't last, and it won't have the impact. Yeah, so in closing, yeah, I do really believe, as I said, that this is what we're made for. We are made to be people after God's own heart. And I just want to encourage you this morning, John, if you could come up and play, I'm just going to close in prayer. And as Gus said, after I pray, we're going to have a time where we're going to invite people to come up and get some prayer. And I just really want to encourage you, if you could stand now, if you're able, just to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Because I know, as I said, when I sat at home and I read that scripture in Acts 13, 22 and 36, it hit me. And I felt, yeah, I want to be able to say like Eric Little, "God made me fast. And when I run, I feel God's pleasure." So let's pray. Yeah, Lord, I thank You that we're not made for ourselves, that we're made for You. And Lord, I know that You want us to feel Your pleasure. You want us to know Your favor. Our lives are just a breath and they're gone. So God, in this short span that You give us, Lord, we want to serve Your purposes in our generation. We want to count for something. We want to have an impact, like Eric Little, like the Apostle Paul, like all of the early church, Lord, and so many other powerful men and women of God that we know about and we don't know about. People right now that are living in countries, no one's even heard their name, but they are living and serving Your purpose in their generation. God, that is the cry of our heart. And we believe that is what we're called to do. That is what You made us for those good works that You planned even before we were conceived in our mother's womb. You decided the length of our days. You decided where we would live. And You decided what unique blend of personality and abilities each one of us would have. And You're wanting to unlock us to run in Your pleasure, to run in Your purposes, for Your glory and for our satisfaction as well, because we're going to feel so satisfied. We're going to feel so fulfilled. And we're going to feel Your pleasure. So Holy Spirit, we invite You just to come now. Please just speak to us. if we're not as close to you as we ought to be, tell us, Lord. If we need to spend more time in your word regularly, tell us, God. If we're trying to do this under our own power and our own steam, tell us, God. Show us how to partner with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus.